This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Jonas, do you see, because to me, I think they're going to need a right tackle is what they're going to need. Because I think Rosengarten, they'll move him over to the left side, and I think he's got the athleticism to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has the athleticism. I worry about the overall track record. I mean, I went back and looked at his college stats. I think he played a total of 3 snaps at left tackle, and I know he obviously was competent enough left tackle in high school to be able to be earmarked as that blindside protector at Washington with all those great offensive linemen. But that would be a big, big jump, even with him having all offseason to get his footwork ready and get his body ready. So I'm confident that someone as smart and athletic as Roger can make that transition. Absolutely. You see, Tristan Wirfs be able to go from being an all-pro level right tackle to an all-pro level left tackle. And you wonder, just how far off Roger is from being at that kind of level. Not all pro, but certainly, high quality starter level. So it's going to be interesting regardless of what they do with, because either way, you're going to have someone who probably doesn't have a whole lot of experience, assuming they can't bring back Ronnie, protecting Lamar's blind side in a potential Super Bowl season.
We're talking to Jonas Schaefer, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Jonas, we've talked a lot about some of the top needs for the Ravens going into the draft this year. Is there a need in your mind that maybe has been glossed over by most of us to this point?
I think you could probably argue for backup quarterback. You see what the Eagles were able to get out of that backup position when Jalen Hurts went down, and just how important that was to keeping that season on the tracks. Obviously, that roster is super stacked, and that certainly helps. But that they didn't get a whole lot of that Kenny Pickett. They were able to drop a 6th-round pick and get Tanner McKee, and now they probably have a pretty solid backup quarterback for a very, very cheap contract the next 2 years. I think he was a 6th-round pick, and I'm not confident in the least about Devin Leary being at that backup level next year. Josh Johnson, I think, turned 39 in May. I think quarterback, because of how the position has just grown important and how much everyone realizes how important it is to find that cheap QB2 on the roster, they're probably, going a little bit early than they normally would in the past 5 to 10 years. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Ravens look to get a backup potential quarterback in, the 4th or 5th round, even if they have, needs to fill, even if they have, it needs for a swing lineman, someone who could potentially develop the next Patrick McCary. I just think you can never be too sure, that can never be too secure in what that future is behind Lamar Jackson on that depth chart.
Hey, Jonas, do you think that Eric was surprised at the new cap number? Because in December, they always gave us kind of a rough estimate of what they thought it was going to be. I mean, they give you a pretty good idea of where it was, and it was not going to change a lot. So I'm thinking that Eric's planning and stuff, he had a pretty good feel that it was going to be in this range.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like from what has been said around the league, this was a particularly optimistic projection. This was a particularly helpful. You know, obviously, it might have only overshot some teams' projections by just a couple million dollars, but that goes a long ways for some teams. I mean, whether you're the Patriots, now you have even more money to spend, or you're the Saints and you have a much easier lifeboat to get out of salary cap hell. I think this is good news around the league, and I think it should help the Ravens. I know, Eric DaCosta was, I believe, really, really happy with how much of a jump the NFL got last year, and how that helped them, come salary cap time. So even if this overshot their projections by $2 million, or if it did it by $8 million, I imagine there's probably some happy campers there in the Ravens front office.
Jonas, last thing for you. We saw Trenton Simpson last year kind of basically lose his spot on the back end of the season, and now had me thinking about, that linebacker position next to Roquan Smith. What do you see happening there? We're going to get part two of Trenton Simpson. Are they going to look to fill this in free agency, or is this somewhere where maybe they look to draft a guy as well?
Yeah, I think just based off the fact that this wasn't a very productive season, if there is that best player available in whatever round of draft, probably not the first, the Ravens won't be scared of taking a guy. But I think the fact that they did make this commitment to replace the inside linebackers coach, to bring in a Chuck Pagano to kind of help with the big picture architecture for the secondary, which is obviously where Trenton really, really struggled. I think you want to show him some grace, and you want to give him some patience in figuring this out. So obviously they have more help than they're going to need more help besides Trenton. I think it would be smart to bring back Malik Harrison. I'm always a fan of his game. I think Chris Board is obviously, a linchpin, is a special teamer, and obviously showed the Ravens what he can do on passing downs last year. But I just think that Trenton has the most potential, and, we've seen just how long the learning curve can be for guys, and maybe it was unrealistic expecting to be anywhere close to a PQ level defender in year two, but maybe it's more realistic if you can finally start to put things together in year three.
Jonas, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this morning. What you got going on over at the Banner?
Yeah, we actually just published a small little update on the Justin Tucker situation. Not really moving mountains with this news, but just, our crack team talked to some of the women who are part of this ongoing investigation, and NFL investigators were in Baltimore this week interviewing them as part of their investigation. So I don't know what that means for the potential timeline and everything, but obviously we have some concrete proof that the chains are kind of starting to move on this in a way that's maybe have a, that might have a material impact on what the Ravens do in the next couple of weeks with the potential roster spot.
Well, I'm sure that'll be a big topic of conversation when John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta speak to the media out in Indianapolis. Jonas, appreciate your time, man. We'll talk again next
Jonas,
week.
Jonas, when are you heading to Indy?
I'm actually not. It's going to be Gianna and Kyle leaving for us.
Okay. When are they going, Monday?
Yeah, they're going on Monday, and I think they're going to be there most of the week. So I think actually the kickers are talking on Tuesday or Wednesday, so if you like kickers talking about college kickers you've never heard of talking about Justin Tucker, you're going to love next week.
Well, yeah, one of the biggest questions, do you go to massage? Do you get massages?
I'm not touching that.
literally. Jonas, appreciate your time, man.
Thanks, Jonas.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Coming up next, we'll get to the whip around, see what went on in the world of sports. We'll recap that great hockey game last night. LeBron goes for 40 as well. That's next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You're on the Fan. You.
Vinny and Haney's with.
Brought to you by Fox Hill Pizzeria and Crab Cakes. The best crab cakes in Harford County.
1057 The Fan.
Centering pass, McDavid scores! Connor McDavid wins it for Canada! And Jordan Binnington has done it again inside the TD Garden.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Featured Artist Friday. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw behind the glass. Coming up next at 11:30, we'll bring in Keith Kavanaugh, recap Maryland's win last night at home. Big win for sure over USC, and we'll start to look ahead to their big game next week against Michigan State. But you just heard that final call courtesy of ESPN. Connor McDavid gets the game winner in overtime as Canada defeats USA in the championship game in the Four Nations face-off.
Yeah, it was it was a disappointing game for US, I mean, to lose. But I mean, for hockey, it was a total win because it was a spectacular game, spectacular clear environment. Everything was amazing about it. The tournament was great. The thing for me, because I watch I watch all the Caps games, but you got a chance to see some players that you don't normally get a chance to see, and the appreciation for these guys is amazing because some of these guys, you're like, who's that? Because like Brady Tkachuk, we don't get a chance. He plays for Ottawa, and they haven't been in the playoffs. So, I mean, to be able to watch him and see his talents and stuff was amazing. I mean, we see McDavid, you know, all the time. We're going to see him on Sunday against the Caps. So, but it was a big win for the NHL in that. I mean, you know, like everything worked out perfect because of the political stuff that was going on, you know, with wanting to be the 51st state. You know, they played up in Montreal. The Canadian people booed, you know, the national anthem. So there was a lot of stuff going on, which made this even more attractive. And then the fights last Saturday with the Tkachuk brothers and JT Miller. It was and the anticipation for last night's game, unbelievable. And the guys that were playing hurt, you know, because Matthew Tkachuk, he made it through one period and he didn't play the game before. I mean, you know, and he went out in the Saturday night game after two periods. So, I mean, there was a lot of guys that if that's just an all-star game or whatever, they ain't playing in that. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people playing hurt that are probably not going to be able to play this weekend for the regular. Charlie McAvoy got played in a game when his shoulder was hurt, and he was in the hospital the next day, and he was in a sling yesterday, and he may be out for the season.
They're putting it all on the line, that's for sure, in those types of games. And I was saying to you, though, I think in every sport that allows it, at least, when you get into this international play, it gets ratcheted up. These guys definitely care about putting on for their countries. Also, last night on the hardwood, we saw the Terps get the 88-71 victory over USC. Of course, you heard that game right here on the Fan. On the NBA level, LeBron goes for 40 again last night in the 110-102 victory over the Portland Trail Blazers. No Luka Doncic in that game. The Spurs, they beat the Suns 120-109 without Wemby. Wemby's out for the year with blood clots. They found it in his shoulder after the All-Star game. Just so disappointed, and I feel so bad for him. Hopefully it turns out to be okay, because the first thing I thought of was Chris Bosh, a couple of years ago, and that pretty much ended his career. So, you know, we know the bright future that Wembanyama has for himself. I'm just praying for the best with him, because that's a huge, huge blow for him and the Spurs for sure. And MLB news came out earlier today from the Yankees. Yankees managing general partner Hal Steinbrenner talked about the updated policy on their facial hair policy. As you know, for years, since I believe 1975 or 73, the Yankees haven't been able to wear a full beard, no facial hair, pretty much no facial hair. And now that has been changed to now they are allowed to have well-groomed beards moving forward. So we'll see what that looks like. What do they define as well-groomed beards? That'll be the next topic of conversation.
Depends who it is.
Right, definitely depends on who it is.
Yeah. Depends on his paycheck.
Right, that'll play a large part into that. Also, some housekeeping notes. Looks like we were talking earlier about Anthony Santander and the article from the Baltimore Sun that came out earlier today from Matt Wyrich, who covers the team for the Sun. In there, it says that Anthony Santander, quote, "We were looking for more years, but at some point we opened the opportunity to a shorter deal, 3-year deals. That's when Baltimore came out with an offer." So, you know, kind of what we said before, his market wasn't great at the start, so he had to pivot, change his game plan. He goes to 3 years. Orioles jump in, but obviously the money still didn't match.
Well, I'm guessing what happened, Cordell, was there was probably a couple teams or multiple teams jumped in at 3 years, and then Toronto went to 5 to get the deal done. And they've been begging everybody to come, and they're probably the only ones that went to 5, so it was, you know, kind of an obvious choice for him.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Keith Cavanaugh from the Terrapin Times. Recap the Terps' big win last night. Look ahead to their game against Michigan State at home, of course. And just start to get a better picture of what this Terps team will look like as we start to get closer and closer to the conference tournament. That's next here on The Fan. Joining us right now via the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, we got Keith Cavanaugh from the Terrapin Times. Keith, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Not bad. Not bad at all. And Terps feeling good themselves today. Get their 16th home win of the season last night. 16-1 at home this year. Just flat out dominant.
Yeah.
After their 88-71 victory over USC last night. And a lot's been said about just this starting five, the crab five, you know, just how good they've been and how you can kind of stack this starting five up against any team in the nation. Are you surprised at their success this year with them basically solely depending on their starting five, at least on the offensive side of the court?
Yeah, and all the way up to number 12 in NET this morning, fourth place in the league, a fifth seed and climbing. Eight of the last 9 and 4 in a row. Just a joy to watch this team. I've been covering the Terps since 1986. We can talk about the 2002 Natty team with Gary. That was a business-like, workman-like, yeoman, blue-collar, overachieving, chip on the shoulder type team. A lot of those guys weren't highly recruited. They were the most successful team. But I put this down in paper. This team this year is by far the most entertaining Terp team I've ever watched over all these years. I mean, they're unconscious from beyond the arc and pretty much anywhere on the floor with shooting. You got two bona fide bigs. They're unflappable. Every time they get up big, a team whittles away at the lead. They have an answer. They have a counter. We always haven't seen that. And they're undeterred. I mean, they just keep peaking and peaking. They play free. They're calm. They're composed. And playing at that tempo and pace. And yes, Cordell, basically, with five starters, all can be in double figures every night, all can be in 20 points, and you get to the bench, and it's still pretty much a donut. So got to stay healthy, got to stay out of foul trouble, continue to hit free throws. Now, the only negative, this team will still have undisciplined stretches and mental breakdowns, be it losing energy and focus if the D end are trying to do too much one-on-one and too much by themselves at times, which we see every game. But Willard's got this team peaking at right time. You know, four of the final six were at home. Big game with Sparty. You got a week off until next week with that game with Izzo and company. But joy to watch. And, you know, every game, it seems like they add another nuance.
Yeah, it's funny you started going down memory lane and comparing this team to some of the past teams, because I was thinking about it last night watching the game. Like, this is the best team easily that I think that they've had since the COVID year that kind of halted their dreams of. And I still, think back to that year of what that team could have done in the tournament and beyond. But, you know, Anthony Cowan and Sticks and Marcel and those guys, you talk about this starting five. This is as good as it gets right now. How do you think they'll start to stack up once we get into conference play and ultimately the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, but no team has really had two bona fide bigs like this. Now, we can go back to the Natty with Lonnie and Chris Wilcox. But even if you go back to that team, you had Steve Blake, who was never offered by Syracuse, which was his top school. You have Lonnie, very few offers. Juan, very few offers. That was a whole different DNA-type team. This one, it's like watching an NBA All-Star game back when NBA All-Star games were real and not just fluff. The way they score in spectacular fashion, I mean, I don't even need to talk about Derek Queen. He's just a once-in-a-generational type guy for the Terps. You only hope, you got to enjoy it now, because anyone could go anywhere next year, including him and the lottery. And the way some of these other guys are playing, like Gillespie, well, hopefully their NIL money keeps adding up out there, because all kind of teams are going to try to poach these guys. But they're so calm, and, you know, they have an answer every time. And we've never seen I've never seen a Terp team shoot the three ball like this. Mm-hmm. And we're talking three or four guys. Miguel has been on an awesome roll of late. But, yeah, you know, that bench, it's got to get better. There aren't a lot of offensive threats there. Geronimo missed that bunny last night. Mm-hmm. Kapari, you know, he's lost some weight. He's finally back, missed that free throw. DHS gives you a little bit of defense, but if they can take care of those things and not get injured and foul trouble, they got a great chance at a deep run here.
We're talking to Keith Cavanaugh, who joins us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's happening with the football coaching staff? I mean, how do you leave the Terps and go to Jackson State?
Well, he's from down there originally, and the writing was on the wall that he was leaving, mutual parting. We're talking about Brian Williams to D.C. But, Benny, for the second time in 2 years, all three coordinators are changing at Maryland. Gaddis is gone, Williams is gone, and Andre Powell's come in to take over special teams. Now, since we last spoke, Kevin Sumlin's basically been reassigned, and he's off staff. I don't even know where he was all year. Lance Thompson's gone to North Carolina. Ference has left, but he was, you know, the O-line analyst. But spring ball starts in a couple weeks. I guess he'll elevate Czar, the co-defensive coordinator and their top recruiter, to coordinator, because you don't want to lose him as your best recruiter. Now, on the other bad news side of things with football this week, one of their top 2026 commitments, D-line, and this relates to what we were talking about, Brian Harris from Florida. He decommitted this past week, three-star DL from Mandarin High School in Florida. But Brian Williams, who just got the oust as RDC, his brother is the coach at Mandarin High School. So you can put two and two together on that. You still need a DC, a DL coach, a tight end coach, a linebackers coach. So a lot of turnover, you know, five.
Keith, what's the problem?
Gone.
Why is it? It's every year. Every year this goes on. And why so late?
Yeah, I think what Penn State lost both coordinators this past month. But yes, 2 years ago, Maryland lost six or seven.
Well, Penn State lost them for different reasons.
Yeah, true. clearly, some hits and swings and misses on hires. Two of those coordinators were elevated position coaches and just didn't work out. Gaddis and Lox have always had a love-hate relationship. the talent pool to bring guys in here right now, with the program kind of in a mediocrity bill, with the stands not very full, with NIL on the upswing, but not where the big boys are. You know, and Lox can be a tough coach, head coach to work for. So it's been a spring shuffle pretty much every year and multiple shuffles. Hopefully get some hires here soon. Recruiting is nonstop, be it portal or high school. And, you'd like to see him maybe bring in a rising star, hot up-and-comer, maybe from a mid- or lower-level guy, instead of these guys who have been lifers, who have been here before, who've had 19 jobs, have been out of work of late or whatever, and they're getting recycled here. So we'll see.
Keith, before we let you go, we always got to hit on to see what the women are doing. What's going on with the Lady Terps here as of late? I know they won their last game against Northwestern. What are we looking for with them going forward?
Yeah, the one thing they still lack is anyone to control the paint. They just don't have that big. But Cheyenne Sellers had the knee scare the other night. She's fine. She played again. They won at Northwestern. Beyond having a true pivot center, they've got all the pieces. Smoky, all those portals have really worked out. So props to them last night for bouncing back and winning. They've had some injuries. Bree McDaniel going down with the knee was devastating, but she was your best dribble penetrator and on-ball defender. And then how about men's lacrosse? They upset number two Syracuse last week. Now Maryland's number two, and they're playing number five Princeton up there. Then they have to go out to Notre Dame and play number one Notre Dame. What a team they are, team concept. They don't have the alpha dog Matt Rambos of the world anymore, but their defense, their workmanlike ability to play as a team without, tons of five stars and whatnot. Coach Tillman's got them really rolling. So big showdown 2 versus 5 this weekend.
Keith, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time today. Where can people follow you and keep up with your work?
Yeah, just check us out at TerrapinTimes.com. Never a dull moment right now, guys.
Keith, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Okay. Thanks, Keith.
You too. Thanks, yeah. Vinny. See you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll take a trip through the Funhouse with Nolan McGraw. That's next. And then at 12, we'll get you some news from the Nest. We'll play you some of this audio from Daniel Jeremiah's Zoom call with the NFL media yesterday pertaining to the Ravens and what they could do in the draft. That's next on The Fan.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
A lot of thoughts here on the Santander contract situation, including Joe in New Jersey, who says the O's could have made Santander's return work with the addition of Tyler O'Neill. He says here it would have clearly opened the door for them to finally trade Heston Kjerstad for an elite pitcher.
I mean, how sure are we that would have been the return is my thing. I don't think it would have been Heston by himself to get this elite pitcher, because what has Heston shown to make any team want to give away one of their starting pitchers in their rotation for him right now? He's had injury concerns. He hasn't been able to kind of stay up here at the major league level. He's been back and forth, and you haven't gotten a big enough sample size of him to this point to know what he's fully capable of. I mean, look, I'll agree with the first part that maybe they could have found a way to work. I'm all for adding as much talent as you can, especially when you're trying to compete for what the Orioles are competing for. But I'm just not sure if Heston right now gets them the return that people think that he will. Obviously, I think they need a lot more.
Jimmy in Pasadena says, I think the 3-year deal that's being thrown out there is not exactly true. I would bet the Orioles only offered him 1 year. If no one else was in on talks with him other than Toronto, why would you offer him a 3-year deal at that point? If it was a 1-year deal worth a little more money, say roughly $20 million, probably could have made it work. A 3-year deal would hinder the rookies or young prospects from finally coming up.
I mean, look, I don't know what to believe. I'm just going off of what was reported. And, you know, I don't think... Clearly, he's not looking for a 1-year deal. That was known. He moved it down from probably a 5-6 year deal to a 3-year offer. He ended up getting that 5-year deal anyway from Toronto. So it is what it is. But I don't think Anthony Santander was looking to take a 1-year deal in general anyway.
Not at that time. I would think, Cordell, if you take a 1-year deal, it's like now, you know,
right,
or maybe towards right, the end of training camp, mm-hmm, would be when you take the 1-year deal, because then you kind of get desperate. And then you're taking, you know, like in the NFL, like a prove it deal, you know, but that wouldn't be for him.
And the 3-year, that number, that's coming from Santander himself.
Right.
That's not,
this
you know,
is him telling the Baltimore Sun.
This isn't
himself.
Secondhand reporting.
Right.
Only thought could be, to Jimmy's point, maybe it was like a Tyler O'Neill 3-year deal where it was really 1 year with mm-hmm, player options
probably
for 2 and 3. And that could make sense.
Right.
And how about one more here, talking Terps? Says, I'm so impressed with Maryland's poise. They never flinch, haven't lost more than 2 games in a row, haven't lost a game by more than 6 points. The team is the real deal. Inside-out game is on point. Just need to clean up some of the small things. There's still some careless turnovers. Missed dunks and layups last night. Clean that up. They can go deep.
Yeah, they had some alley-oop attempts last night that didn't end up going in their favor. And I agree. Sometimes they will have a careless turnover here and there. And like we said earlier, they had that. They gave up a 17-4 run in the second half. I mean, those types of runs will kill you come tournament time. So you do got to be careful about just having too long of a lapse, you know, in these games, because coming up, everybody you play is going to be a worthy candidate. But yeah, so far so good. I'm buying the hype with the Terps right now. They seem to get better and better. Which each passing
one,
game.
One quick thing. Eric talks Tuesday at 11 at the Combine. Harbs talks Tuesday at 1.
All right. Well, all eyes will be there. All ears as well.
All ears for sure. And also, the Ravens had put out their updated coaching staff updates for this offseason. Some new hires: Donald D'Alessio, defensive backs coach Matt Pease, assistant linebackers coach Anthony Levine Sr., and assistant special teams coach Kevin Hartman, assistant strength and conditioning coach Chuck Pagano, senior defensive assistant, and secondary coach Tyler Santucci is the inside linebackers coach. And a title change for Willie Taggart. He is still the running backs coach, but also now the assistant head coach as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get you some news from the Nets. We'll hear some audio from Daniel Jeremiah, who met with the media yesterday pertaining to the draft, and he'll tell you why he feels like the Ravens should be okay with staying put in the first round. That's next here on The Fan.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapper jacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.